Good morning. I'm Norman Gilliland with a lot of action for you during this hour. Of course, it's next to last day of the pledge drive, which is lively enough. But as Stephanie told you, we'll also have some live music during this hour with Rachel Barton Pine and Matthew Lipman, and they are going to be performing tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, but they'll be performing live right here during this hour in between those pledge breaks, and so things will get pretty lively with things changing pretty rapidly. But to get it started, we're going to hear from the Halloween Timely CD that Rachel produced some years ago called The Instrument of the Devil. This is Heinrich Wilhelm Ernst, Grand Caprice on Schubert's Der Erlkönig for solo violin. Backstory to that piece based on a song by Schubert about a child that gets snatched from his father. That was Rachel Barton Pine with that caprice based on the Erlkönig of Schubert by Heinrich Wilhelm Ernst, a colorful figure in his own right. And now let's hear from our guests today. They are Rachel Barton Pine. Welcome back to the Midday.
Always wonderful to be here.
And you've brought with you today Matthew Lipman, and you are going to be performing tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra.
Yeah, Madison. They're putting me to work. I'm doing a solo concerto and a half. The yeah. Beethoven number 5, followed by the introduction and Rondo Capriccioso of Saint-Saëns. And then, but wait, there's more. I come yeah, back, right. And I'm very delighted to be joined by Matthew Lipman, young violist from New York via Chicago, and we'll be doing the wonderful and rarely heard double concerto of Benjamin yeah. Britten.
He wrote it when he was about 18 years old.
19, yeah.
But who's counting? And there it sat for the longest time before anybody really noticed it.
Yeah, and it's definitely worth hearing. It's been really exciting to put it together and rehearse it, and I can't wait for everybody to get to experience it.
And that concert, I'm told, is almost sold out. Some seats left for it, but they want to come and hear you.
Yeah, I guess, you know, for homecoming weekend, that's pretty darn good.
Well, you've brought your instruments, which is wonderful, and you're going to play some Mozart?
Yeah, one of the most famous pieces of chamber music for this particular duet combination. Mozart wrote 2 duos for violin and viola, and this is the first movement of the first one in G major.
Thank you. At which point, of course, there should be a burst of applause for live music here, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're all cozy in our usual broadcast studio here. Rachel Barton Pine and Matthew Lippmann, violin and viola, respectively, with Mozart. And there isn't a lot of music, is there, for violin and viola solo?
More than
like
you would think.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, there are lots of interesting stuff.
There's a beautiful Spohr duo, actually, which I hope we can play soon.
Oh, Spohr. Well, you're welcome to play it today if you like. If the spirit moves, Spohr is a favorite. Yeah. He wrote a lot of diverse stuff, especially for strings.
Of course, for these two instruments, violin and viola accompanied by orchestra, the most famous of the concerti is the one by Mozart entitled Sinfonia Concertante.
Sure.
And Matthew was actually the violist who just joined me on my album of complete Mozart violin concertos with Sir Neville Mariner at the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields.
Is that out?
It's going to be out in Mozart's birthday month this January upcoming.
Sir Neville must be...
Well, he just turned 90, so he was 89 during the session,
and he
had more energy than any of us.
Yeah, I figured that. He's got to be the most prolific conductor in recording history.
I'm not sure about the statistics, but it's got to be one of, if
yeah,
not me.
Yeah, it's quite a stack. How was it working with you? Had you worked with Sir Neville before?
I hadn't. My London agent put us in touch, and it was such an honor that he agreed to do this project with me and learned so much from him about Mozart interpretation, though that's been the case for my whole life, having grown up listening to so many of his recordings of Mozart.
I had a conversation with him and... I'm not sure. Oh, I can't remember her first name, but anyway, this was just before he was knighted. It was many years ago.
Ah.
And she said something that was kind of enigmatic to me because somebody said, oh, I understand that, you know, you're going to be knighted. And she said something like, well, yes, it's wonderful, but it just mostly means things cost more. And I never quite figure out what she meant by that, but of course, it has not slowed him down, all those accolades.
Indeed not.
You haven't slowed down much either. You are just about everywhere doing all kinds of recording and
different city or country every week. It's pretty crazy.
What's your concertizing number up to these days?
Oh, I don't know, but my little daughter who just turned 3, she's a platinum flyer, so that tells you something.
And now, speaking of 3-year-olds, you started playing when you were 3.
Exactly.
And have you started her?
Indeed. She started lessons in May, so
one
she's actually
size.
2.5
uh-huh.
With a 1/32nd size. She's now progressed to a 1/16th.
Uh-huh. Well, that's, and how is she?
Oh, well, she can do a mean Mississippi hot dog. But no, the most important thing at this age, I think, is that they have the exposure, the environment, and then hopefully you can cultivate an interest in music and a love for music, and then, you know, just give them guidance along the way so they can start to develop the physical and technical skills to make music.
Well, and your interests as a performer are very diverse, ranging from Mozart to heavy metal. Is all of that in the air in the home for her?
Well, I look at certain genres of rock as akin to R-rated movies, perfectly reasonable forms of entertainment that perhaps aren't appropriate until you're a bit older.
Lyrics notwithstanding.
Well, it's not always the lyrics. I mean, I listen to a lot of thrash metal, which tends to have lyrics more about the state of the world, like Metallica's 4th album. The first track is about environmentalism. Uh-huh. That's not exactly sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But nonetheless, the music is very dark and aggressive. And that's, you know, I also don't let my daughter watch movies that have to do with with people yelling at each other, same kind of thing.
Sure.
But in any case, actually, more importantly than what she's yet capable of on her own instrument, I've been extremely pleased that her her level of interest and focus on experiencing music is really continuing to progress. And just last night, she sat through most of the dress rehearsal of the program for the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
Yeah, you know, that was so cool to look out into the audience, and there's this little miniature person that I'm playing for. It inspires me every day.
And you never know, do you, what their musical tastes are going to turn into?
Well, I guess to rebel against me, she'd have to listen to, I don't know, top 40 or something.
Yeah, what would be left? That's right. Yeah. I mean, do you listen to country also?
My sister does.
Uh-huh. And well, there's some fiddling in country music.
I love a lot of traditional styles, like particularly Scottish.
Oh, sure. Well, and that carries through, of course.
And then honestly,
Scotch-Irish.
When it comes right down to it, you know, my own hometown indigenous music, the Chicago blues, I can listen to all day long.
So, yeah, as somebody has said, you know, it's... just a matter, actually, sort of Oscar Wilde, who kind of paraphrased from him, is, you know, there is no, you know, music is neither moral or immoral, or it's either good or bad, you know, is the way he put it in terms of literature. And
some people disagree with what music falls into each of those categories.
Well, that's, yes, a basis for endless discussion, isn't it? would you like to play another Mozart movement before we...
Yeah, speaking of the good stuff.
Get back to business.
There's nothing more gorgeous than a slow movement of Mozart. Somehow his well, Matt, you can talk about this, his writing for viola.
Well, actually, I feel so lucky because most of the time in classical music, violists kind of just get the mpa mpa. But with Mozart, we actually share the roles pretty equally. And what I particularly love about this slow movement is its operatic quality. When one of us is singing, the other one is accompanying, and then we switch, and it's just really beautiful.
Mozart does a lot of that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You can almost hear a plot going on, some kind of a a love duet, or who knows what.
Definitely a love duet.
So this is the second movement, then, of the duo that you played the first movement of just recently.
Thank you.
the second movement of Mozart Duo 4, Violin and Viola. Rachel Barton Pine and Matthew Lipman playing live in our studio for the 11 o'clock hour today. I have to keep remembering that it's not the midday, it's the 11 o'clock hour, as you're in a little earlier, so we could give you a little more time. Norman Gilliland back with my guests today, Rachel Barton Pine and Matthew Lipman, violin extraordinaire and violist extraordinaire, and they're performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight at in the Capitol Theater in the Overture Center in Madison, and they're performing right here for us, which is a fantastic treat. And you've been here, of course, several times, Rachel. I don't remember that you've done some live performing.
Oh, yeah.
Here on WPR. And, how can you contrast now this Mozart movement that we just heard, the one with the kind of almost soulful operatic quality to it, with the next movement?
A wild, playful romp. Mozart's other side, as we well know. So it's great. You get all the different characters in this one duo.
And is this duo pretty much balanced between the instruments all the way through? I mean, he played both instruments. Mozart did, of course.
And actually preferred the viola, which I always hate to admit. But yeah, in his Sinfonia Concertante, he always chose to play the viola part, not the violin part.
So there we go. So that gives you a mark of distinction, Matthew. So this is the playful, romping Mozart in this third. How many movements total are there, by the way?
Oh, this is a three movement. Yeah.
This is okay. So we get the whole thing.
So this is the conclusion. Thank you.
As you say, lively and romping, Rachel, but also being Mozart, very lovely all the way through. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Taste and elegance at all times.
And now back with Rachel Barton Pine and Matthew Lipman. And in a minute, we'll be hearing Rachel's fairly recent recording, isn't it? September of 2013, we got it anyway, of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto.
Yes, indeed.
One of the, perhaps the most famous of all violin concertos.
Certainly one of the most beloved.
Yeah.
And I was really happy to pair it on that album with the Schumann Concerto, which I absolutely adore, along with the Beethoven Romances. We squeezed it all on there.
Yeah, that's a generous CD.
But the Mendelssohn was actually the first concerto that I ever soloed with the WCO back more than 10 years ago. So that was how we began our relationship and then progressed to increasingly more interesting and obscure and fabulous repertoire.
Well, you know, obscure. Obscure mm-hmm. doesn't mean that there's a reason for it to be obscure. It just means
exactly.
People haven't heard about it.
Well, unjustifiably neglected.
Yeah,
is.
There you go. So what about this? We're going to be hearing the final movement of the three of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto from this recent CD of yours. And what stands out for you in that finale?
Well, actually, when I go into schools and play for elementary-age children, the last movement of the Mendelssohn is one of my go-to excerpts when I'm talking to them about different emotions in music, because invariably I kick into the theme and I ask, you know, what feeling does that give you? And they all say, excited!
Yeah,
and
that's
even
for sure.
After all these years and hundreds of performances of the Mendelssohn, it never feels stale. Every time I go out on stage and perform it yet again, I just get excited, just like it's the first time.
Well, that's kind of a hallmark of a great piece, isn't it? That you can get excited about it every time.
Exactly.
So here it is. It's always fun to be with a performer listening to his or her performances on a CD, but often they're kind of disparaging, but it would be hard to be disparaging of that performance, Rachel.
Well, I was really happy with how it came out working with Maestro Christoph Mueller. He and I really had the same vision for this repertoire, the Mendelssohn and Schumann Violin Concertos, and I feel like everything I was hoping to capture in the Mendelssohn, I actually did, so that's a great feeling, and really, you know, makes you feel like you left. I mean, certainly as I continue to grow and mature as an artist, my Mendelssohn might change or deepen or who knows what. But at the moment, it was a snapshot of everything I wanted to do about the piece and everything I believed about the piece. And I've now left it to posterity, and that's just a great feeling.
Well, thanks for coming by and sharing some live and some great recordings, too, with us this hour.
Oh, our pleasure.
Great to have you, and you too, Matthew.
Thanks so much for having us.
And Matthew Lipman, this is actually his Wisconsin debut. Not just his Madison debut, but his Wisconsin debut.
Very excited to be here.
Well, you came at a good time.